Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org.
Good evening. I'd like to say something about the form tonight, in general, and then one form in specific. Even though we don't have, well, compared to some places, we don't have a lot of form. Right, Linda?
Yeah.
Yeah, believe me. There's, you know, other places have lots of form. And even though it might seem like we have lots of form, you have to compare. As they say in My Life as a Dog, you have to compare. Still, we have plenty of form. We have forms that hold us, bind us together. And, I mean, this is not your everyday style of life. When we come here, we do something different. And that's a help to us. These forms that we do, some of them have meaning. And those meanings maybe open up over time and become meaningful to us. Some of these things have to me. Some of them have meaning, like the han, you know. It's a reminder that we should get back to work. And when we do the three bows and we put our hands up like this, that's to signify that we're raising the Buddha, raising our Buddha nature over our self, everyday self nature, like that. So some of these things have meaning. Some of these things we do, I think, for energy or to change the energy. So for instance, chanting or walking or now Qigong. All those have different energies and help us keep going, and they also allow us to do something quietly that's also rhythmic and that is steady. So it's a different way to meditate, I think. And all of these forms are also ways, no matter what it is, in a retreat like this anyway, it's a way to do something without thinking. It's a way to make a motion, to move, to practice moving without thinking. So the meal, for instance, or again, kinhin or gyodo, it's a way to move, to move through the world without thinking. To practice doing that. And I think that's a good thing to practice. Not just sitting like this, but doing these different rituals. And over time, those rituals start to have a little bit of meaning for us. And almost, you know, may have a kind of Pavlovian effect on our lives. You know, when I chant the Heart Sutra, I relax. When the tea server comes, I know I can just pick up my teacup quietly, without thinking. So, the form is is here to help us. And it orients us. In a weekend like this, the form orients us toward no self. Every form that we do orients us toward quiet, toward revealing our Buddha nature. And that's from my point of view, we have to find a balance between too strict and too loose. But having some container, having some clear form, gives us a better way to orient our lives toward that quiet. I'm very thankful for the form, and I hope you who haven't done much of this form can relax around it and just keep doing it till you get it. A lot of people are probably laughing at you for doing it wrong, but just keep doing it. Nobody's laughing at you for doing it wrong. We're just all doing this together. And the form also is a kind of container. Another function of it is a container, almost like a vehicle that keeps us going through all kinds of weather. It's almost like a, you know, your familiar car that goes through hail at night and sun and easy conditions and more difficult conditions, up hills and down the other side. We go through all those during a retreat like this. I think in a way, just by getting quiet, we open ourselves to all of our weather patterns. And the funny thing is, I mean, it is a remarkable time, I think, a way to notice our changes, the way we change. Notice our emotional swings. This morning, for instance, I have had mornings when the world is caving in. Same routine. World this morning is caving in. This afternoon, life is wonderful. So sweet. Nothing has changed. Same routine all the way through. This form gives us a kind of vehicle that we can move through all of those changes. To switch the metaphor a little bit, we're discovering our landscape. You know, sometimes we can run away from that, but in a retreat like this, we don't only get to know our no self, we also get to know ourself. And the form helps us stick with it. Helps us get to know all of those different changes and keep breathing and keep working to discover our quiet nature. So that we, over time, I think, if we stick with this vehicle, we can discover lots of ways to find no self. Again, in all kinds of weather. As Ikkyu says, there's lots of paths up that mountain. And we can discover them, I think, more. We really have a chance when we're doing a forum like this with fellow practitioners. The one form I want to talk about, just briefly, is maybe our most basic form. That is the sitting posture, Zazen. Somebody told me, some fellow, when I was, must have been in the first month or two I started practice, said, takes 7 years, you know, to get your body right, to learn how to sit. I don't know if it's 7 years. I kind of doubt that. But it does, there's some little kernel of truth in there, I think, which is that it takes a while to settle into this posture. So give it some time. Keep at it. Keep paying attention to it. Because I know I have found over time, it really, it matures, the posture itself, and settles in. And even then, Genko and I, I'm sure this is true, Genko, I hope it is, we're still working at this posture, you know, we're still developing. It's so, it's so important. I mean, we use it in this practice all the time. So to pay attention to it is worthwhile, I think. I'm just going to run through the basics. Start with a good foundation. Feel your bottom against the chair or against the cushion. If you can, get your knees onto the cushion, if possible, or your feet flat if you're sitting in a chair. If you're kneeling, then of course your knees are already there. But that helps your body naturally grow from your waist if your knees are down and your back can naturally grow. Roughly, sit up straight. Looking around, it looks to me like everybody's sitting up straight. So thank you for that. I think it helps a lot to sit up straight. I was told to pay a little attention to my sternum, to raise that ever so slightly. And this is by Gente, my first teacher. And then relax. If there's a like a pole, like a tent pole, just holding that up, then the rest of your body can relax around it like a tent falling down. Don't push it up too much, just a little bit. Otherwise, sometimes it's said, imagine there's a string coming out of the top of your head. Both those metaphors or both those points are in the middle of your body. And the idea is that the middle core has some upward motion and the rest can relax. Relax your shoulders. Relax your shoulders. Eyes at about a 45 degree angle. I think it's helpful to open your eyes. If you need to close your eyes to settle, to be sure, do that. If you're just used to closing your eyes when you meditate, then close your eyes. But I suggest everybody at least experiment with your eyes open. The eyes are the king of the senses, it used to be said. And they form our world more, I think, this is the way I see it anyway, than any other sense. They give us a sense of that over there and this in here. And to be able to relax that dichotomy, that polarity, really leads to some good places, I think. Tongue lightly touching the top of your mouth, just where your teeth meet the roof of your mouth, is how I was instructed. I'm not picky about how you hold your hands. If you want to hold them on your thighs, as some people do, that's just fine with me. I hold them in the classic Zen mudra, and if you do hold a mudra, I'll just go over that. It's the left hand over the right hand. Your thumbs lightly touching, ever so lightly. In the Rinzai style, we hold our hands up a little bit, not down in our lap, but up a little bit. That can take a little getting used to. Relax your wrists. Elbows out a bit, not tucked, but loose, falling out. I was told I should be able to get an egg in between right here in my armpit. I'm not sure I could get an egg there, maybe a very small one. And this mudra, this posture, gives us a feeling of energy when it's done with attention. Let me just say something about the breathing too. So this upright posture gives us plenty of room to breathe. Our lungs are in our chest, of course, and your whole torso rises and falls as you breathe in. But do remember to breathe deeply into your belly if you can. And pay attention to that breathing over and over again. Then what we get from this posture is a kind of energetic posture. Really imagine, as Ikkyu says, every pore dedicated to being awake and quiet. And the posture is also open. So it's open to whatever will come, whether it's a faint hum somewhere or some scratching somewhere, whether it's cold or warm, whatever's going to come, this posture says we're open to it coming. And I would suggest that you try to remember this posture as you eat, when you walk outside. It's possible to keep your head upright when you walk hin-hin. Try that instead of dipped. And keep your body open to the next moment. If you only get an open posture from this practice, I feel like that itself is worth so much as we move through the world. a more open and relaxed posture. Open, as I said, to the next moment. Open to this moment. Open to life and to death. So, open to what's here. I'd like to ask you to dedicate every pore to what's here, without names, without desire, without thinking.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.